are two of them.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Four-year-old Marion, she would shout and jump for joy whenever her mother would come home at lunchtime from work. And the mother would pick up Marion from the next-door neighbor who was babysitting her daughter, and then they would hurry home together, eat lunch, and then play a little bit together before the mother would bring Marion back to the babysitter and then return to work. But one day, the mother stopped coming home for lunch, and Marion was saddened. And she wondered why her mother stopped eating and playing with her at lunch. She wondered if her mother loved her as much as she once did. Years later, Marion learned that her mother still came home for lunch every day, but her mother would sit at the kitchen window, having lunch, looking out the window, watching Marion play in the neighbor's backyard. And all the while, she longed to be with Marion, and she longed to hold her close, especially if Marion fell and cried. But it was for Marion's good that she did not. And so eventually, Marion adjusted to her mother's absence at lunch and grew up in a healthy way. And looking back on it now as an adult, Marion understood why her mother stopped picking her up at lunchtime. It was for her own good, for her own growth and development. And I think this story has something in common with the gospel today. Jesus is warning his disciples that he will soon be leaving them. He says, "Today, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you that I am going away." And so Jesus is preparing them for his ascension into heaven when he will no longer be with them. And it's as though he's saying to them, "You are sad that I've told you I must soon leave you. You're feeling distressed and fearful. But I'm telling you, it is better for you that I go. For then my Father will send you the Holy Spirit to help you grow and develop in a new way." And so what is true of four-year-old Marion, what was true for the disciples of Jesus, is also true for us. In everyone's life, there come times when it seems as though God is not listening to our prayers. Maybe we may feel that God has somehow abandoned us. It seems that he's left us alone. Take, for example, prayer. There may have been times in our life when we really look forward to praying, when prayer brings us joy. We feel a sense of connection to God, and it leaves us feeling more peaceful. But then there are other times when prayer is really difficult. We find it a real effort to pray, and we don't feel like it, and we seem to get nothing out of it. Or take, for example, our faith. There may have been times when we felt as though our faith and belief in God was rock strong, and that we could move mountains with our faith. But then there are other times when we feel that we couldn't even move a molehill. And finally, take, for example, our acts of charity. Perhaps we once had a great enthusiasm for volunteering. We derived great satisfaction from being involved at church, helping out in various groups or activities, but now it just seems like so much of a big effort, and we don't seem to be getting anything out of it. It's times like these which the saints call a dark night. And in those times, we can be tempted to wonder, has God left us alone? Have we done something wrong? Has he abandoned us? Sometimes even we may be tempted to think, does God even exist? Well, the truth is that these things happen for one of three reasons. One, if we've committed a serious sin, then the distance we feel between God may be our fault because of our serious sin. Then we just need to go to confession, and then the closeness will be reestablished. Or it could be we haven't committed any kind of a serious sin, but we might be feeling sick under the weather. That can also put a distance, feeling of distance between us and God. And if it's not that we've committed any kind of a new big sin, or it's not because maybe we are feeling sick, but then it's because it's a normal part in spiritual growth. This, where God is still with us just as much as before, but he does not let us feel it. He doesn't let us feel his presence, and he does that because he knows it's for our own good. He knows it's time for us to begin a new phase in our spiritual growth. And so he's inviting us in those times to continue our faith, continue our practices of charity, continue our prayers. Even though we don't feel like it, and we may not feel as though we're getting anything out of it. Because what we're doing in those moments is we're exercising our spiritual muscles. We're exercising our muscles of faith, our muscles of charity, our muscles of prayer and trust. And in the process of exercising them, they're getting stronger. They're becoming more deeply rooted in our hearts and lives. We are also being purified of ego. Because now we're practicing our faith with a more pure love of God and love of neighbor. We're not practicing it so that we can feel consolation, which often can just mean we're looking for ourselves and not really God. So it's a process of purification as well. So God allows these struggles in our lives because he knows it's through these struggles that we grow and develop and mature spiritually. It's kind of like, I think I shared with this example with you quite a while ago, of students in a particular classroom. I think they're grade 8 students, and the teacher brought in a whole bunch of caterpillars in their cocoon. And he said to the students, now watch carefully over the next week or so and record what you see. And at first, the students didn't see anything. But then slowly, one after another, they could see movement in the cocoon. And they could see whatever was inside was pushing and pulling and struggling. And after a number of days, one by one, a leg would pop through the cocoon, another leg would pop through, and then out would pop a beautiful butterfly. And the butterfly would be warming itself in the sun for a while, and then it would fly away. However, there's one little boy whose cocoon wasn't opening, and so it was the last one, so he decided to help it. He got a little sharp knife, and he just very carefully put a little slit in the cocoon, and sure enough, within seconds, the legs popped out, and out popped the butterfly. However, that butterfly never flew, and ended up dying. And the boy asked the teacher why. And the teacher said, well, you know, you had good intentions, but nature has designed the butterfly in such a way that when it's in the cocoon, pushing and pulling and struggling to break through, it's developing the muscles it needs to fly. And once the muscles are strong enough to fly, then it's also strong enough to push through the cocoon. So by cutting the cocoon open, you did not allow the butterfly to develop its muscles, and it could not fly. And so that's why God allows these struggles in our lives. He knows it's through the struggle that we will grow deeper in our faith and charity, our prayer and trust, if we keep on practicing those, even in those times when we don't feel God's presence and it doesn't seem like we're getting anything out of it. And when you think of it, that's exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was praying and it didn't seem like the Father was answering his prayers, what did he do? Did he abandon it? No, it says he prayed even more earnestly. And so that's a really good example, I think, for us to follow. So let us daily ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us. She knows exactly what it means to feel abandoned by God, and she felt that way under the cross. She knows what it's like to struggle to be faithful in great darkness, and she was faithful, and a result has now won for herself such great joy in heaven. May she also gain us the grace to be faithful and persevere in our times of struggles and darkness, so that we can also reach the joy God has prepared for us one day in heaven.